Welcome to the Bella Petite Hour. This is your host, Anne Lauren. We are brought to you by BellaPetite.com, dedicated to fashion, entertainment, and lifestyle. Today's show is about social media, the power of women online, and how effective sales techniques will get you through to the next level. Are you confused about your online presence, selling to women but don't know how to attract them into your product or services? Are you curious about the buying patterns of men and women? I have the experts, Elizabeth Lyons and Judy Hoberman, joining us to answer those questions. Plus, they'll explain how social media's explosive growth plays off the primary element of female relationships and how women can maximize their sales strategies, all on today's Bella Petite Hour. First, I want to welcome my guest show host, Elizabeth Lyons. How are you this morning, Elizabeth? Welcome to the Bella Petite Hour.
Hi, Anne. So nice to hear from you.
It's so fabulous to have you on the show, and I'm going to tell our guest a little bit about you. Elizabeth started her career as a headhunter a decade ago, working with leaders at such companies as Intel, Mentor Graphics, and Microsoft. While recovering from cancer in 2009, Elizabeth launched her first book, Recession Proof Yourself. She is a professional speaker, writer, and counselor. Her column for BellaPetite.com focuses on women's unique work-related issues and leadership. Elizabeth's intention is to arm women with powerful information to build your career and ultimately build powerful female leadership within business. Elizabeth knows why you are hired, fired, and promoted before you do, which is why we have her joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm real excited to be here.
Well, Elizabeth, it's always a pleasure to have you, and I know that you recently finished your second book, so tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm real excited. Launch date looks like August 10th. The title of the book is called I Quit, Planning Your Great Escape. If you look at the demographics as we move into recovery, there will be a lot of individuals that are what I deem as the survivors of recession. They're tired, they're cranky, and they're just starting to look around for a new opportunity. This book really addresses how the job search has changed, how you apply online, how to get your resume on the hiring manager's desk, how to negotiate your next salary, how to navigate social media, frankly, because the job search has changed so much in even 2 years. And if you've been with a company, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 years, and now you're starting to look around, this book might be really helpful to you.
Sounds absolutely useful. We need to get some excellent tools out there for individuals to, you know, figure out how to work through this jobless economy. So when's it going to be published for us, and where can we find it?
It will be launched August 10th, which actually happens to be what would have been my dad's birthday. He passed last year, and I dedicated the book to him. So I'm so excited to kind of give this as an offering in remembrance and in being thankful to him. And it'll come out August 10th. It will be on Amazon, on my site at elizabethlyons.com, Kindle, and Nook.
Love that. Love that. That's really nice of you, by the way. And Elizabeth, do tell me, what is your best advice for finding employment in a jobless economy?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. When we talk about a jobless economy, there's a couple things we look at. One is called new job creation, and we're not seeing a lot of that, and that's the bottom line. What you will see, though, is people will start to move from one company to another. So you'll see them move from, you know, Xerox to Microsoft, or, you know, Microsoft to Intel. What you get is like a shell game. They just move from A to B around town. And eventually, as the economy builds, and it will, then you start to see new job creation. But if you look at the reports, the economy across the country is pretty soft. The last data I read that the West Coast wasn't even going to show new job creation until 2015.
Don't tell me all about that. That's just so dismal. It's like being in California is hilarious when you look at the fact that we're like the most ridiculous state in the union, I think, because I believe we actually put like all of our incumbents back in office. So I guess you get what you voted for.
Well, there's that. but here's my point. It's not, be careful when you read the reports that you understand them. So when we talk about new job creation, no, not showing a lot of that. Does that mean that there's no jobs out there? No, it doesn't mean that. There are positions out there. You know, will there be competition? Yeah, a little bit, but it's definitely worth pursuing. To answer your question, what's the best advice for finding employment? Real simple. Stay calm, keep moving.
And maybe take something you don't normally you know, you weren't looking for in the first place, and work your way through the organization to get into that position you want.
Explore everything. You know, I had a client come to me yesterday and say, hey, I got this call, and I'm not sure, and what do you think? I said, oh, my gosh, if you get invited to the interview, go to the interview. You know, don't judge it off the company or anything. Get in there and kind of feel it out and see if it's right for you. You can't make a quick judgment.
And don't be too picky.
No, because there will be some to choose from in terms of availability. There won't be a lot to choose from in terms of availability for another couple of years. And then we'll go into a market of, you know, a lot of jobs and not a lot of candidates. So hang on. I know it seems like a long time out, but it will come to that point again. It always does.
It does, but for California, it's 2015, if you're listening. Jeez, oh my goodness. And on that note, let's bring on our special guest. We have Judy Hoberman, and I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about Judy. She's created a company that finally addresses the gender issues and differences that affect corporate America. Her company, Selling in a Skirt, goes beyond a standard training program. It presents a method, a philosophy, and a way of life for the next generation of winning saleswomen. Judy's objective is to change the culture of sales teams so they are more effective at addressing the differences between men and women. Drawing from her more than 30 years in the field and her rich experience in the corporate world as an award-winning training director, Judy has also written the best-selling book, Selling a Skirt. Welcome to the Bella Petite Hour, Judy. We are happy to have you join us.
Thanks, Ann. I'm so excited to be here. And hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Well, I'm thrilled to have the experts on because, of course, we've got quite a lot of questions for you. And, Judy, let's start out with what inspired you to start a company called Selling in a Skirt.
Well, it's definitely a name you won't forget.
Absolutely.
It's great branding. I always have to wear a skirt.
The men like that, okay? You can't...
That's true. It's interesting. But like you said, I've actually been in sales for 30 years and have always been in male-dominated industries. And I was mentored by very successful people, but never by a woman because there weren't any. And we all know that men and women are different in just about everything that they do. So how can you expect either gender to get everything they need from the opposite gender? So I spent years and years watching women in sales positions struggle to get any credibility. And I decided to leave my corporate position and start talking about what I would have benefited from as a female in sales and teach both the women who do the selling and the male managers who hire and train them to get the most out of them. So when I started Selling in a Skirt, it originally was to show women that they can be successful using their inherent femininity without having to mimic their male mentors. But then I also addressed the biggest challenge men face, which is really how to find amazing women for their business. And when they do, how do you train them? How do you motivate them? How do you retain them? Because it's really all about maximizing yourself.
Well, I think that sounds incredible. And I think you maybe answered my next question for you, which was what makes your sales training program different from the other? So what's the real core difference, if you haven't already explained that?
Well, my sales training really offers the obvious, which is sales training, but it's done with a twist. We talk about how the same scenario can be heard differently by a man or a woman, and I offer suggestions on how to address the challenges. Now, I've also been in the trenches, so I know firsthand about the entire sales process, but I also bring humor into the training because there are different stories that I tell that people just get. Now, the advantage of working with me is that I've actually been a commission-based salesperson for over 30 years. And I've done quite well in it, but I also understand the challenges and the triumphs, and I'm very accessible. And I also add another dimension to the training, which is the gender differences.
Sounds absolutely interesting and innovative, which is what we appreciate and why we have you on the show today. Now, I know Elizabeth and I are absolutely looking forward to hearing about, you know, your most humorous story. You've been in the field for 30 years. Can you share with us that story?
Okay, so here's really like my start of the whole gender differences, and I have lots of stories, but this is the best one. My career was one, like I said, that I was either attracted to male-dominated industries or they to me. I have no idea why. I've been in construction. I've been in security systems, copiers, insurance. But when I started in construction, and I actually chose the most feminine part of the industry, which was roofing. And my training in the company was interesting, and it went something like this. I was 27, and I was the only woman in the state of Connecticut in commercial roofing, the only one. And the company thought I'd be a great asset, and of course, I was excited about the challenge. But they told me five things to remember. The first thing they told me was, like, as you can imagine, there's lots of specifications in roofing, but I was told I wouldn't need to know anything because I would always have an expert with me. I would be the point of contact, the sale would be mine, and I would be the face of the company. Very interesting as a female. The second one was that this actually took place in the 70s, and you had to be dressed for the part. So I was told I had to wear a dress or a skirt so I would stand out. Now, if you remember, I just said I was the only female in the state, so I'm pretty sure I stood out, but I understood the sentiment behind it.
Stop me. I need to stop you here. Okay. You're in a skirt. You're selling roofs. Don't most individuals selling roofs? Okay.
Wait, you're coming to number three now. The first thing they told me was that my appointments would not always take place in my office. Some would be on the job site, and that would be a roof.
Right.
You're getting the reason why I was such an asset. The fourth thing they told me was that OSHA was very strict, so to make sure that they understood that I was the company's number one concern, they wanted to make sure that I was always safe. So in case anything should happen, I would climb the ladder first, just in case I fell, and someone would be underneath me to catch me. You got it?
That's hilarious. Are you envisioning this, Elizabeth, for us?
Yeah, I'm just so glad that when I learned sales, it was a little different environment.
But, you know, I mean, but that's what you learn. And, you know, the fifth one, he told me, always make sure you give somebody a firm handshake. And the very first roof that we went to was the largest roof in the state of Connecticut. When I walked up the ladder, that's when I heard the giggling. And I understood why I was an asset. But, you know, we did sell the roof. I did nothing other than climb the ladder because I didn't know anything. And if you know anything about women, which you obviously do because look at what the program you're talking about is, women like to be taken seriously. And so since I didn't know anything, I was more like arm candy. And it was very uncomfortable for me. But it's a funny story, but it's also pretty thought-provoking when you say, yeah, you know, I do want to be taken seriously. This is not for me. And there's more stories that go with it, but we'll end that one.
We love that. Now we know why the show Mad Men is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
It amazes us, you know. And I hesitate to say I wasn't even born yet in the 70s, so that's, like, shocking to me to think that they actually put a woman in a skirt selling roofs who actually had to get up the ladder and just wait, and if you fell, somebody was going to catch you routine. That's as funny as it gets. Well, listen, we have about a little less than a minute. Can you tell us how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way?
Yes, and one of the things I always say, Anne, is I always say that neither gender is right or wrong. They're different. That's all they are. They're merely differences. But if you understand the differences and embrace them, you'll most definitely see a difference in your working relationships and ultimately your bottom line. And can you just imagine how amazing and powerful your sales team would be if you understood that? So if you just take the time to understand each other, because honestly, we need both the transactional qualities of most men and the relational qualities of most women to make and to work as a team.
Nicely put. It's time to take our first break on the Belle Petite Hour. We'll be right back with more lively chat.
Hi, this is Gary Wilmot, and I would like to invite you to join me every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern on America's Web Radio for my new show, One Nation Under Fraud. I promise you a lively discussion and great guests as we address the greatest crime ever perpetrated against the American people. That's 4 p.m. Monday, immediately following Officer's Oath.
With so many plant species in the world, there's literally thousands of choices when it comes to gardening. So tune in Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the Master Gardener Hour with Rena Sartain and Debbie Brooker on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Interior design with style, flair, and sensibility. These words define the approach that Leanne Culpepper has developed for over 20 years in creating dynamic and comfortable environments for a diverse clientele, including homeowners, boat and yacht owners, government officials, corporate executives, doctors, and entrepreneurs. Leanne has won local and national acclaim and is available for design consultation at 770-549-2383. Please visit her website at www.culpeppercarpets.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and lightweight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat three well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with two snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Bella Petite Hour. This is Ann Lauren. I have two experts joining us today. We have our employment expert, Elizabeth Lyons, and our special guest, Judy Hoverman of Selling in a Skirt. And I'm going to go right to you, Elizabeth. So let's start off with you explaining to us the main benefits of Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Why should we pick one or multiple platforms online?
Well, actually, I give a presentation right now called Which is Which? Because there's a lot of confusion around social media. It seems like it changes every day. And I think the first question is, where do I start? You know I need to be a part of this. So in terms of demographics, just to throw some numbers and some demographics at you, for example, Twitter, the bulk of the age group on Twitter is between 18 and 29 years old. Then the next bulk of the people on there are between 30 and 49. People on Twitter generally reside in urban areas and cities. They're not going to reside in the sticks of Oklahoma. And then when you look at the demographic, the largest population is African American, followed by Hispanic, and then white. So that's who's hanging on Twitter. You start to think about, well, is that where I want to be, and does what I have to offer make sense to post there? The second place that's very popular is Facebook. You know, they have 800 million users to date. Now, the game there is likes and reposting your posts. And it is a place where a lot of people gather. But again, looking at your business or looking at what you want to put out there, you always want to think about, does that make sense? And then LinkedIn, that's really the who's who of business. It's really become people's business cards and also resumes online. And the demographic there is mostly male, between 25 and 54. 39% of the people on there hold the title of manager, director, COO, or president. So again, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, who you're trying to reach. It's all about intention and what are you putting out there and where you can serve and where is your audience hanging out.
Well, it makes perfect sense. Interesting to me, and I am on all three, but they do serve unique purposes. So, mm-hmm. You know, as you say, depending on your business, pick the network that's best for you. Now, my next question is for both of you, and I'm going to defer to Elizabeth first, and we're going to talk about quality content. How do you know you have it? And Elizabeth, I want you to talk about how the content actually affects your sales ability, you know, the content that you have online. So you go, Elizabeth, and then go ahead and follow up Judy with how that content affects your sales.
So, you know, the kind of the pat phrase out there right now is content is king. I have a little bit of an advantage because I'm a writer, and I was a writer first before I really did anything else. I was always that nerdy bookworm writer kid. So my content tends to be pretty good. Content is all about your audience, knowing who your audience is and thinking about what do you want to give or what can you give and how can you serve them, first and foremost. The beginning of this year, I actually designed and implemented and have stuck to a social media plan. And one of the things that came pretty clear was, you know, what do I have to offer? How do I want to be positioned? How can I help the people that enjoy reading what I write? And the bottom line is I write business stuff, and I write about career, and I write about leadership. Well, what ties into that? The economy. So when you see me post 5 and 6 times a day, I have all the social media connected. But what you'll see is updates from me around the economy. So you'll see a link and maybe a little, you know, one-liner commentary from me that says, hey, look, Arkansas is creating job growth. Who would have thunk? You know, and then I post the link and people can read it if they want. Ironically, Clout, if you know who Clout is, they actually measure social media. They have deemed me an expert in a couple of words. One is economy, one is Texas, and actually the other one is job seeking, which is perfect. That tells me that the content, what I'm putting out there, is consistent and focused and relevant to the people that are reading my stuff. Amazingly, in the last 6 months, I've had 3 repeat clients, which normally doesn't happen for me. Usually they go through my career coaching program, it's an 8-week program, and that's it. You know, what I teach is a repeatable process, and that's what I design and deliver. So to have people come back to me and reengage in the service was surprising, and it all came from, you know, posting online, being visible, being helpful, being of service.
And Elizabeth, now that she's really laid out the important content and how you know you have it, I know you deal majority in face-to-face sales. How can the content online affect, you know, the day-to-day salesperson?
You know, it was surprising to me. I was at a networking meeting, and I remembered somebody from a year or so ago, and I guess I was feeling good about myself or confident, and I walked up to him and I stuck my hand out and I said, hi Harry, how's it going? I'm Elizabeth Lyons, not sure if you remember me. And you could see him thinking and thinking and thinking, and he said, oh, hi, and he's shaking my hand, and he's trying to navigate the conversation, and all of a sudden he blurts out, oh my God, you're the woman that posts online 5 times a day. And I smiled, and I said, yes, I'm Elizabeth, and I post 5 times a day on economy and job seeking. So, and then I laughed, and I said, well, look at that. I just walked right out of cyberspace and shook your hand.
Love
so there
it.
You are. You know, there
so,
you are.
So, Judy, what do you have to say about that particular situation? Does that seem to be what carries over for individuals who are making offline sales? Because I know that you primarily do the face-to-face sales techniques.
Well, I do primarily face-to-face. I also do some things online, and the only reason I say that is because I think that you have to have a presence online, and what I do is I try to bring quality content, and that's when I share my resources, and I want people to want more. Because if you have ever read an article and you immediately Google the author to see what else they've written, well, I always like to make sure that what I put out there, that they give them takeaways that you can implement today, immediately, because that's going to turn a listener into a client, and that's what you want. And the funny thing is that, like Elizabeth, I had someone ask me this past week when my next newsletter was coming out because he looks forward to my quote-unquote skirt wisdom, which are my takeaways. You have to be consistent online. But, you know, being in person, it's all a continuation. It's all about relationships. Social media has definitely shifted the workplace environment more towards one that's more consultative and away from being transactional. In other words, it's now geared towards what a woman's strength is, which is creating relationships rather than completing a transaction. And it's used, it really, the increase in the usage in social media is due to the fact that it places the natural strengths of women building relationships. So the online sales translate into the offline sales because you're building a community online, which is where you find your prospects and your resources, and you're building a relationship. But it also translates into your offline. You want to still build those same relationships. And that's what social media does. That's what it has in common with offline, online. It's all about building relationships. The whole thing
is. Yes, it does. Interesting. So, Judy, what are the differences between men and women selling strategies?
Are you talking online or offline?
Well, you know, you can pick one or the other.
Okay, well, online, here's one of the big differences is that men, again, they're transactional. So what they do is they're online less often than women. Okay, women are online much longer than their male counterparts. They share information they find online far more than men do, and they participate in discussions and reviews. So if you're looking to promote something, you want them to start a conversation with you, or you start one with them. And it's all about being relational versus transactional. Now, men go online, they find what they want, they gather information, and they sign off. Women, on the other hand, they're looking for information. They're chatting with others. They're reading. They're developing opinions. And more importantly, they're sharing those opinions more often than their male counterparts. So it's very interesting to see how it all translates. But women are relational creatures. What we do is we refer people out 92% of the time. So if we find something wonderful offline or online, we're going to make sure that we share it with the people that we love and we care about.
Wow. I can see that. I can see that because men are mainly visceral, whereas, like you say, women are relational.
Right. Right.
That's huge, though, 92%. That's just a big number of getting somebody else's name out there for you.
Well, didn't you ever see that old, well, you might not be old enough for this, but there used to be a commercial that was a shampoo commercial, and she shampoos her hair, and she said, I too told two friends, and they told two friends, and they told friends, and so on and so on and so on. It's all referrals. If we like something, we like a restaurant, and we like a pair of shoes, or the person that cuts your hair, you're going to tell everybody about it because you want to share that. That's what we do, and we do that online as well.
What is the buying power of women today? You know, what's the numbers around that? What does that look like, online or offline? What does that look like?
You know, it's pretty staggering. She Economy is the one that said that, you know, 85% of all consumer purchases, including everything from autos to healthcare, is made by women. 92% of all new homes are bought by women. 66% of all PCs are bought by women. 65% of new cars are made by women. But make no mistake, because women represent the majority of the online marketing as well. 22% shop online at least once a day. That's 22% of all women. And like I said, 92% of them pass that information along to others. But here's the one that I love the best. Women have an average of 171 contacts in their email or their cell phone. You know what that means? That means referrals. So if you sold something to me and I loved you to death, I have 171 people on average that I'm going to refer you to. Well, so does my friend Elizabeth, who has 171, and so does my friend Anne. So you never have to cold call again if you built that relationship with a woman. I mean, that is mind-blowing.
It is. Staggering.
It absolutely is. I'm just sitting here thinking about that, you know, and we really are the best at referrals. I've literally, you know, with Bella Petite, we are a global communications network, and we do that quite a bit for one another. And just one more stat to add to your buying power of women today, petite women are 70% of the retail marketplace, and we hold $10 billion in retail buying power. So wouldn't you both think that the industry would actually focus better on us? That's a
Absolutely.
Trick question, of course. On that note, we're going to take our next break on the Bella Petite Hour. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for ways to sharpen your skills and think about returning to college? Or are you a parent concerned with finding ways to reduce college costs for your child? Tune in Wednesdays 3 to 4 to Education Forum. I'm your host, Karen Powell. You'll find out about innovative ways to increase your education or smart tips to reduce your child's college costs. Our guests can provide you valuable information. Join us each Wednesday, 3 to 4, on Education Forum.
Hi, this is Dr. Susan Blank, and I would like to invite you to tune into my show, Detailing Addiction. It is on Tuesday afternoons from 4 to 5. We discuss all sorts of issues related to the disease of addiction, recovery, and treatment.
Do your children know where their food comes from? At ConnectingFarmToFork.com, there's all kinds of ways to help your child understand how 300 million of us here in America stay nourished, clothed, and healthy. Activities, food facts, and farm visits help young people learn about America's hardworking farmers and have lots of fun doing it. Visit ConnectingFarmToFork.com today for a learning experience that'll really grow on you. ConnectingFarmToFork.com, brought to you by the people who care at Feedstuffs Food Link.
The Business Builders Seminar Series presents cutting-edge business services and products in an academic setting to top executives and business owners. Business Builders features a pool of best practice solution providers to educate, enlighten, and implement solutions. The seminars create more effective and efficient management skills while vastly improving business profitability and success. Business Builders has grown from the initial seminar of about 50 guests to an ongoing program attracting over 100 top executives for each topic. For more information, visit businessbuildersteam.org.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And welcome back to the Bella Petite Hour. This is Ann Lauren, and for those of you just tuning in, I have
Bella Petit employment expert Elizabeth Lyons and author of Recession Proof Yourself. Our special guest is author Judy Hoberman of Selling in a Skirt. So we're going to get right back into the thick of things with you, Judy. And we've been talking about sales and face-to-face and online and offline. And I do realize that your primary business deals with sales strategies for women that are selling face-to-face. So let's really talk about what some of those specific strategies are for women selling face-to-face.
Okay, for women selling face-to-face, it's going to be the same. I'm going to lump it in with your online because I know that because you're an online company and you promote so much business through the economy that I'm going to relate them both. The point is that it's all based on relationships, whether you're online or whether you're face-to-face. Building relationships is key, and the reason that it's key is because, as I said before, we refer people all the time, but we also build communities. And we also build networks. So when you're face-to-face, you're building a network. And when you're online, you're building a community. And I always say that building a community is, you know, I equate it to like baseball. Why do people love baseball? Because the point of baseball is that you actually go home. And that's a real safe place. You're going home. Well, it's the same thing online. You're building a community. These are your people. These are the people that love you. So you're trying to find how are you going to convert your, what are your sales strategies that you're going to use online? Well, one of them is that you have to make sure that you know where your resources are. So if you're trying to sell a product or a service, one of the things you probably want to do is you want to find someone that's doing something similar to you, a competitor, and see what's working. And you want to brainstorm. What I always do is I will email them, and I will say, I've read your, you know, I've gone through your whole entire website. I signed up for your newsletter. I'd love to see if we can become strategic partners. Because that's going to help you figure out what works and what doesn't work. And there's going to be things that you do that your competitor doesn't and vice versa. So, again, you can become a resource for them, a referral system.
So what do you do, let's say, if you don't have a competitor?
You're going to find somebody that does something similar to what you're doing. It doesn't have to be a competitor. It could be somebody that is maybe even somebody new in business, somebody that's doing something similar. So if I'm doing sales and I'm talking about gender differences, there are people that do gender differences, but they're more on the HR level. Well, that's not what I do. I do sales. So I might ask them for some, you know, important data, and they in turn are going to ask me for certain things, and we go back and forth. So you're going to find somebody that does something similar. Maybe it's the same topic. But here's something that I did, which I loved when I first started, is everybody's on LinkedIn in some manner. A lot of people don't even know how to use LinkedIn. But the greatest thing about LinkedIn are the groups. And if you join a group, now, for instance, for me, I joined lots of insurance groups because that's my background. And when you join a group, even if you're not, quote, unquote, connected to everybody in that group, you have access to them. So what I did was I was trying to build a certain program, and I put out a survey into one of my groups in LinkedIn, and I said, would anybody be willing to take a 30-second survey for me? Now, they didn't know who I was, but they were able to look me up and see what I did. Well, I had so many people that said, absolutely. The only promise I had to make was that I would, in turn, give them the results. Well, now I have people that are connected to me that have also connected me to companies that need my services. I didn't know anybody, but I started to build communities. And it's all about relationships. That's what I'm telling you. It's the same off or on face-to-face or online.
Absolutely. That's just excellent advice that you've given, because I know a lot of people are looking at all these different social medias and they don't really know how to use them. And I think what you've just said here is very key and has to do a lot with turning online conversations with women into sales. And I think you're telling us it's about networking, it's about building your relationships. And I know that both Judy and you, Elizabeth, do this very well. Do you have some additional techniques that you can share with us? We'll start with you, Elizabeth.
You know, I think it's really about intention. I really do. How can I give? How can I serve? What do I have to offer? Because when you come from that standpoint, then you're not all caught up in competition, where's my piece of the pie, am I going to be able to pay my bills this month? You're coming from a very different perspective. And if you come with the mindset of there is enough, then they're not all freaked out about connecting with somebody who you may deem as a competitor. One of the things I started to do this year, along with my social media plan, was I sought out other speakers. And maybe my stuff was relevant to theirs, maybe it wasn't, but I knew if they had a book and they were out there speaking, I wanted to build my Dallas network, because part of my issue was I have a heck of a following on the West Coast, but I was, 2 years in Dallas and people didn't really know me. So what I would do is, after speaking engagement, if they liked what I had to say, I would say, would you give me introductions to, three or four more groups where my message would be of service? And I would also ask for feedback. As I met other speakers around town, and I was careful in my selection, I do want to say that. I do not open the little black book of contacts to everybody, but there are a few that have the right intention, I want to share with, I feel good about what they have to say. They're people that I really do want to align with and support their business, and I would like them to support mine. I arrange, a coffee or a meeting or a lunch, and I literally sit down with my calendar and all of my contacts, and I say, I spoke last month at APEX, and I spoke at IEEE, and I spoke, here are all the places I can give you introductions where I really think your message would resonate. And then in turn, they do the same thing. Now, to be perfectly honest, I might walk out with 10 contacts. I could email and call them all, and maybe only two or three turn up. And that's okay, because I've still duplicated and multiplied my efforts by just connecting with someone. And I'm always so tickled when I make the introduction and, they get a new client. It's so wonderful for me. I really, really love doing that.
And I'll add to that. What I would add to that is you always have to bring value, and you do have to have that servant leadership attitude. If you don't bring value, you've got nothing.
Yeah.
And if you don't have relevant information, go to your cousin Google, who does.
Seriously. Good point. Don't you hate it when somebody asks you a question and you're like, couldn't you just Google that? Why'd you ask me? I can't tell you how many times a day I say that.
I know, because you know what, my son is a web developer, and I'll ask him how to do something, and he'll send me a link, and he'll go, it's from Google. I'm like, oh, I could have done it myself. But you can always refer to an article, you can refer to information that just may be what is needed to close the deal. Now, women are also going to look for others who have either used your product or service that you're offering or have had experience with something similar. So you might want to be able to have a referral to give them and say, okay, you might want to talk to this person because she's used this or she knows about this or whatever. And remember, again, women refer others and share information. Don't forget that number, 92% of the time. So referrals are golden, whether you're on, in person or offline, or online. And that's the best way to turn a conversation into a sale. But remember that if you do it going after money, people will see right through you.
Mm-hmm.
And your goal is to be that giving person, but not giving up the farm. So you have to be able to offer, enough information that people will take it and say, okay, that makes sense. I need more.
That's right.
People smell fear. I've seen that 1,000 times. You're absolutely right. Even early in my career, I can distinctly remember being afraid of not making my quota, heading out of the office being like, oh my gosh, where the heck is it lying today, because I got to make a sale because they're going to start to call me to the carpet on this, and being fearful. And then I swear, they're like, clients are like dogs. They just smell the fear all over you, and nothing happens. And it's, frankly, it's a really kind of a yucky exchange. It's just not a nice exchange. Nothing about it is nice. No matter what you say, the energy out there is just really different and not of service. So I would totally agree with that. It's again, your intention behind it. Why are you saying what you're saying? What are you saying?
Right. We used to call that commission breath, and everybody could smell it.
Mm.
And so, you just had to really be careful that you're not going after things for the money. The money will follow, but you have to go with the right intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to say that, you don't never want to go in front of a client and see a fee tattooed on their forehead. So, you know, this isn't a $20,000 placement, Elizabeth. This is a candidate that you might be able to place somewhere, or, you know, whatever. This is, you know, it was that kind of a thing that the fee is not tattooed on their forehead, so you better keep your eye on the ball. So I learned that early on, and I blew it early on too, and that's how I learned it really well. I was blowing it. So how do you resist, Judy, then becoming the unpaid consultant by chatting online and having nothing come of it?
Well, we all seem to get into that trap at one point or another in our careers. When women in sales start to build relationships, one of the issues that we have is we become like Vicky Visitor. We're a professional risk visitor rather than being a trusted advisor. We all go through that. So the best way that I found to avoid that is to have an agenda that the two of you review, and you stick to it as best as possible. Here's what we're going to do today, here, and just put it out so people, you know, both parties can see it. And then you want to engage your potential client into a meaningful conversation and ask open-ended questions so that you get the information that you need to go forward. And then you also have to remember that your time and your intellectual property is really valuable. So don't give everything away for free, because if you believe you're valuable, so will everybody else.
All I know is I'm loving the terms you both have come up with. Vicky Visitor, Fee Breath, you know. Where you guys
you're
like never heard
Google.
Of before.
You're
I'm going to start
Google.
Googling it.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Totally. And that's from California, the totally.
We got all this.
And I live on the coast. Don't ask me where the valley came from.
Do we have time for one more question with Judy?
We do. We do. We have at least 2 minutes.
I've got another one for you, Judy. What are men's behaviors online? And do they behave the same, like in a shopping mall, as they do online? Now, when you look at how do they approach the market? How is that different?
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, men tend to go online, they find what they want, they gather their information, they sign off. Sometimes they'll play a few games or whatever, but they really don't spend a lot of time online. Now, it's very transactional, but it's also very laser-focused. Now, have you ever gone to the mall with your husband? I mean, you know what happens. Okay, so when men go shopping, they know exactly what they're looking for. They zero in with that laser-sharp vision, they buy it, and they're done. And it's really no different. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, I have a slide that I use when I do a talk, and this is what it sounds like. So you and your spouse or your son or your dad or your male friend go to the mall together to buy a pair of jeans. The man goes in and spends $33 in 6 minutes, and mission accomplished. The woman goes in to do the same act.
But we try on 10 pairs, first of all.
Not only that, but she's also spent $876 in 3 hours and 26 minutes. But she's developed some relationships with the salespeople that have helped her. That's the big difference.
Wow.
Okay, so but men are, you know, men are very laser focused.
Well, and I think that's why they actually prefer shopping online, because they know what they want and they're going after it, versus us. We're going to walk into, you know, the store, and we're going to want to look at a lot of different samples and look at all the latest designs, and they're not even interested in any of that.
Right,
The joke that I have with my husband is that I can walk into a store and actually walk out and not purchase a thing, but I have to physically touch everything in the store at least once.
I cannot do that, Elizabeth. I cannot go in the store and not purchase something. I recently heard a couple days ago they've now developed a pill for shopaholics. No lie. It was on ABC News. So we've got a pill for everything in this society. And on that note, we're going to take our final break. Telepathy Hour. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Do your children know where their food comes from? At ConnectingFarmToFork.com, there's all kinds of ways to help your child understand how 300 million of us here in America stay nourished, clothed, and healthy. Activities, food facts, and farm visits help young people learn about America's hardworking farmers and have lots of fun doing it. Visit ConnectingFarmToFork.com today for a learning experience that'll really grow on you. ConnectingFarmToFork.com. Brought to you by the people who care at Feedstuffs Food Link.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And welcome back to the Bella Petite Hour. We're wrapping up today's show with employment expert Elizabeth Lyons, an author of Recession Proof Yourself. And our special guest is Judy Hoberman of Selling in a Skirt. If you missed any part of the show, it'll be available later this week on BellaPetite.com and iTunes. And just in case you were worried, ladies, about being shoppers or shopaholics, I took a few moments to go ahead and Google whether or not they have a cure for us. And they say they do. It's like this drug they've used on Alzheimer's patients, and that now it actually helps curb our, you know, enthusiasm with shopping. I'm certain that men are going to be lining up for this one. What do you say?
That's perfect. Too bad Mother's Day is right behind us.
Yeah. I mean, what is that all about, you know? I mean, we deserved an extra long break just for that because, you know, I can't imagine. So, you know, we'll get right back on track with both Elizabeth and Judy. Now, earlier in the show, Judy, you mentioned that women have 85% of the buying power and decision-making power. Why do you think that is?
Well,
because we didn't take that pill?
That's right. That's probably there's so many statistics out there, so I'll just give you some of them because this all contributes to the buying power. So, of course, we said that 85% is what they are actually purchasing, but nearly half of all the new businesses were started by women. Women are now the power behind the global economy. Women's earned income is growing at a fast rate of 8.1% per year, where men are only 5.8%. Women control nearly $12 trillion of the $18 trillion total overall consumer spending that's predicted to rise by 2014. There's huge statistics, and all it means is that we have access to more dollars. Our incomes are going up, and I know, you know, everybody's going to chime in and say, yes, but we don't make as much as men. Forget that for a second. We have a lot of disposable income. We have a lot of income in our hands. The boomer women, which is going to be great for financial planners, but the boomer women are going to come into a double windfall because they're not only going to get money from their parents, they're also going to get money from their spouses who they're going to outlive. So there's lots of money being pumped in. Also, women are, they constitute 57% of all college students, and they're seeking even higher degrees. That's going to add to the economy because they're spending more money. But my favorite is the Dalai Lama, who said that the world will be saved by the Western woman. We're gonna take care of the economy. That's just the facts.
Well, I can't disagree with that. What do you say, Elizabeth?
I love it. I read that the Dalai Lama saying that a few years back, and I just cracked up. And I think it's great. I mean, I think the numbers are staggering. And it never occurred to me that the boomers would get their parents' money and their spouse's money. That's true. There's a big, you know, bucket of gold there. So interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Judy, why don't you share with our listeners where they can find your book and your next conference dates?
Well, my book is available on my website, which is sellinginaskirt.com. There's also a lot of information that you can grab on the website. And I'm also in the process of building online sales training, so stay tuned for that on my website. You'll see that. But a lot of my trainings are for corporations, so they're not open to the public. Again,
okay.
if you go to my website, you'll see conferences that are coming up. You'll also see there's a video there from a conference that I just completed, and it was on the importance of recruiting women to your team. It's a really good video. It's got so much information in there, so you can actually see that. But I'm also accessible. I answer my own emails, so you can always email me at judy@sellinginaskirt. And I also do go into companies, and I either do their sales training completely, or I complement whatever's already in place. So
interesting. And Elizabeth, you do actually deal directly with the public, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Best resource to find me is on my website at elizabethlyons.com, L-I-O-N-S. The book is there. You can reach me that way. I, just like Judy, I answer all my own email. And I've got the second book coming out in August entitled I Quit. So if you're working and starting to look around and wondering how you should handle your job search, that would be a good resource as well.
So you're telling me no autoresponders, right, ladies?
Nope.
Right, absolutely not.
Hate those. Nope. Well, I want to thank you both. Judy, you've been a pleasure to be on the show, and Elizabeth, it's always great to share the hour with you.
It's fun. Thanks for having me again. I really enjoy this.
And again, listeners, you're welcome. You're so welcome. And, you know, just in case we've missed any part of the show, you can go back to bellapetite.com and iTunes, and you'll be able to load those podcasts up on your little pod player and listen to it. And also go by bellapetite.com and check out our latest headlines from our experts and contributors. We've got some great news about style and questions, answers for everyday petite women. And there's quite a lot going on in the world of pop culture and celebrity gossip. We've got a new contributor. She's a comedian. Her name's Erica Wasser from In Spaces. She's going to be providing us comedy relief about height. Won't that be fun?
Fantastic.
I love it. You know, we, of course, have our men and their Hollywood manzons and petite women. That's always a lot of fun. And we've got some advice on the latest accessories. Of course, we do have some wonderful recipes from Kathy Ireland, Design Ambassador, Chef Andre. You're going to want to check that out. And we're going to keep you up to date. You know, I just heard this in the headlines. I don't know if you'll appreciate this, both Elizabeth and Judy, but the latest petite celebrity gossip is between Jennifer Lopez and Britney Spears, because Britney Spears secured $15 million for her new spot on X Factor. And basically, that was a demand. She had to be paid $15 million because J-Lo made $12 million on her first season on American Idol. So what do you think the chances are that J-Lo stays on American Idol knowing that Britney Spears is now making $15 million?
I don't know.
Wasn't she leaving already? You know, the gossip is that she was leaving American Idol anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it's all about the money ball at this point. So that's where we'll leave it. Make sure you come by bellapetite.com and check out our tweet of the week. And I've got some latest news on Facebook, of course. And, you know, tune in every Tuesday for a live broadcast at 1 p.m. on the station America's Web Radio for the Bella Petite Hour. Next week, we've got a great show with former supermodel Clarissa Burt. She's going to be sharing beauty secrets. Plus, we have fashion designer Chris Barreto with her new couture chocolate collection of dresses. She's just been recently featured in Vogue, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Don't you wish we were handing out samples?
Yeah.
And that's a wrap, folks. I'm Ann Lauren. We'll see you next week at the same time on the Bella Petite Hour for all your news on fashion, entertainment, and lifestyle.
Hi, this is Gary Wilmot. Join me every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern on America's Web Radio for my new show, One Nation Under Fraud. That's 4 p.m. Monday, immediately following Officer's Oath.
Officer's Oath is a story that everyone should read. It is not a birther story. It is rather the story of a man, Terry Lakin, who made a principled decision to adhere to the oath he willingly took as an officer in the United States Army. A decision that led to imprisonment, loss of pay, benefits, and his job. This is a book that will give you a deepened appreciation for a man who took his oath seriously, an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. It will remind you that one man or woman can have an impact if it will stand up for what is right. It will demand that you work to defend what makes this country great and good and bring it back to its senses. And finally, it will motivate you to consider getting involved in the political process at any level and participate in the work of running this great country. Please visit OfficersOath.com today and pre-order the book now. That's officersoath.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Sumner, Executive Director of ACSM, and I'd like to invite all land surveyors and those interested in land surveying to tune in to the ACSM Radio Hour every Monday right here on www.americaswebradio.com.
Quick Stakes, that's Q-U-I-K Stakes, are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quickstake.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of Quick Stakes. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's Quick Stakes, Q-U-I-K Stakes, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.